been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting live every Thursday. We're here today in the Woodlands at the Chamber of Commerce. This is the internet radio show where we interview the best and brightest business owners all across the state of Texas about the do's and don'ts of building, growing, creating a successful business. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today, Royce Brooks, otherwise known as Rock and Rolls, Royce Brooks. Royce, you had a little stint as a DJ, didn't you, back in the college days or something?
Yeah, I was a mobile DJ when I lived in Bloomington, Indiana, and ran a company called the Party Sounds of Indiana.
Oh, man. He was waiting to get in front of a mic.
Yeah.
So we are excited to have you as guest host in the show today.
Thank you.
And also, our special guest is Leslie Farnsworth. Her company is called Frog Dog. In just a minute, I'm going to have Royce read her bio, but we're really excited. Leslie came up. You drove up from Houston. You battled the traffic, came all the way here to the Woodlands. Thank you so much for being on the show, Leslie.
Thanks so much for having me. I've really been looking forward to this.
It's going to be a ton of fun. We've got a lot to talk about. Also, in the studio today, we have Dr. John Newbold, and Dr. John Newbold is on faculty at Sam Houston State University. He will be my guest co-host on our commercial banking episode, and that is on November 17th. We're broadcasting that show live from this SHSU campus right here in the Woodlands. So along with Sam Houston State University, the Shrimp Tank and the faculty of SHSU is also going to hear live pitches from new business ideas from young entrepreneurs across the state of Texas. This is to see whether or not their business ideas will sink or swim in the tank. Now, this is not to raise capital, but it's for mentorship. So there will be a winner, and the winner of that will receive mentorship from our team here. So think of this kind of like, like Shark Tank meets The Voice. Kind of cool, right? Yeah. So we're excited about that. We're looking forward to that. So why don't we now, Royce, if you don't mind, you just introduce our listeners to Leslie Farnsworth, the Frog Dog, and I think you got some notes on her bio, right?
I do. Thanks, Dan. Our guest today, Leslie Farnsworth, is the Chief Executive Officer of Frog Dog, which is a hyper-paced consulting firm serving companies with aggressive business targets. Also, she is the CEO of Twin Flames Properties, a commercial property development company founded in 2006. Leslie publishes extensively in business and consumer media, regularly speaks to industry groups and at conferences, and serves on the boards of the Women Business Leaders of the U.S. Healthcare Industry Foundation and the Greater Houston Women's Chamber of Commerce. In 2011, the Houston Business Journal named Leslie to its list of the top 40 under 40 in Houston. Leslie has her undergraduate degree at Johns Hopkins and did her graduate work at University of Chicago.
Fabulous. That's you're very well credentialed. We're very honored to have you in the studio today, Leslie. And, you slipped another one of these companies in on me since I talked to you last. Actually, tell us what's going on. You're doing some things in real estate development?
A little bit, yeah. Bought some land and developed an office building on it. And right now, just looking for additional opportunities when the time is right.
So. Okay. Well, that's a sidebar for you, but your real business is your marketing company.
Yes. Main business for me, my time focus is Frog Dog, which I've been running since 1997, which is crazy.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Yeah, Leslie, I have to ask you, where did you get the name Frog Dog?
It really started as a brainstorming process, and I didn't want to name the company after myself, and I wanted something that wasn't going to be an acronym and was going to be memorable. So with that, those three criteria, the team really sat down and brainstormed and brainstormed. It was a painful process, as anybody on this podcast would know. Trying to name a business is a hard process. Mm-hmm. And we went through it ourselves and cobbler's children and shoes, right? But we ended up really playing with brainstorming characteristics of animals. And frogs are flexible and adaptable and leap in the air, which is kind of a go the extra mile metaphor, and grab things out of the air, which is a brainstorming metaphor for strategy that makes sense. And dogs are, a person's best friend, and loyal and tenacious and focused and driven. and it just really worked for us. And it was memorable and easy to spell.
And sticky, you know. I mean, I heard it, I don't know, 15, I've known you for, 15 years,
a good long time.
Yeah. I knew Frog Dog, and I never forgot it. And I think that's just one of the things you're looking for, too, when
Absolutely.
You name a company that it's got a certain level of stickiness. So we're going to talk today about entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about Leslie's journey as an entrepreneur. And we're really excited about that. I got to say, guys, if you think about, if you're going to start a new business, I don't know where you would want to be anywhere in the United States besides right here, number one in Texas, maybe number two in Houston. And of course, there's a lot of good parts of Houston. We're really partial to the Woodlands, Texas. But, you know, Royce, you're involved with the Chamber of Commerce, and you're right. You got your finger on the pulse of business in our community. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at the Chamber and what's new and our current business climate here.
Yeah, there is something going on here almost every week in the Woodlands, especially when the Chamber's involved. We have our employment law update tomorrow, which is at Sam Houston State University here in the Woodlands. We're really gearing up for our Economic Outlook Conference, which will be held in January. And then we have our Taste of the Town in February, and that draws over 6,000 people to taste all the delicacies and of the Woodlands. So it's just some great events, and we're very active trying to do our best to bring value to the membership of the Woodlands Chamber.
We're excited about that, and we're excited to be talking about entrepreneurship, Leslie Farnsworth experience as an entrepreneur. You know, where do most of the small at the university, they show us that most of the jobs are created by small business. And mm-hmm. I just say, Leslie, if we have a listener today that maybe is an aspiring young entrepreneur and they've not yet taken that leap, what words of encouragement would you have for them about just going ahead and getting started?
I guess I would always tell people that there really isn't a right time. I often run into a lot of people who think, well, they're waiting for some kind of magic time at which all the stars will align and they'll have everything they need. And that just is never going to happen. So if it's something you really want to do and it's something you feel passionate about, the best thing to do is get started at some level, even if it's just take a few little steps in the right direction.
There can be a fine line between ready, aim, fire, and fire, aim, ready, because,
sure.
We did a show on having a business plan, and mm-hmm. Maybe we'll start there as we kind of get into your story a little bit. When you started your company, did you have a business plan?
I had something that could have maybe been a straw man, but I think business plans, and I don't, didn't hear the earlier podcast on that particular topic, but they're living documents, and they need to change. And I think mm-hmm. sometimes what I've seen with entrepreneurs or people who are starting businesses is that they develop a business plan and they get into analysis paralysis, and they don't know where the line is between doing enough research and enough planning to get started and getting just stuck and mired and never feeling like they have the answer. You're never going to have all the answers.
Yep. So you could have the greatest idea, but you could die on the vine while you're analyzing it. Sometimes you have to take that leap of faith, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think Nike had a quote about that. What was it? It was like, just do it.
Just do it.
Just
you
do
betcha.
It. So, and you know, it can be tough to do if you're a young aspiring entrepreneur. You're thinking about jumping out there. You know, last week we had on a guest, and she had a great job at a big energy company, and she, you know, had a certain sort of, you know, security and financial future, and she had to, you know, turn and walk away from that and follow her dream. That was walking away from a lot of security, knowing that half the small businesses that start up, they fail in the first 5 years. And you started yours in 97?
97, yeah. It's almost, gosh.
Yeah,
a couple decades ago.
You're certainly certainly past the 5 years now. So
yes.
we know that we have some things that we're going to learn from you today with our interview with Leslie Farnsworth. And by the way, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here in the studio today with Leslie Farnsworth of Frog Dog. And don't forget, you can always download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So with that, Leslie, just tell us a little bit about Frog Dog, what you guys do and who you serve, and just a little background into your business.
Absolutely. We are a ready-built team of very experienced strategists, is how I would put it. And what we do is we plug in to develop research-based strategies and plans, and then execute those research-based strategies and plans for our clients. And those tend to be companies that are in the mid-market space, although we also are starting to work with companies that are a little bit earlier stage. but they've got to get to the point where they are in a place where they really need formal marketing. The great thing about it for us is that we are able to plug in and really keep them scalable as they grow.
Okay, so that's a sweet spot for your company is a mid-market, someone that's do you have any metrics around that? You know, like ideally for your, you know, when you say, do you talk about revenue, number of employees? What's, when you, I'm sure as a business strategist yourself, you have clearly identified your ideal business client. So would you care to share any of those metrics about kind of who you're looking for as a client?
Absolutely. Most of our clients traditionally have really started at the, you know, minimum revenue range of about $30 or $40 million. And they typically have private equity backing. Often that's a trigger event for us. They brought in funding at that level and they need to get much more serious about growth than they were in the past. But we have just now really developed products that would really help people at a little bit earlier stage, but still in the 7 to 10 million revenue range typically.
Okay, that's great. So listen, if you're sitting there in your dorm room and you want to launch a company, you're not quite ready to call Leslie at this time, but that doesn't mean that you can't take some of her knowledge and ideas and wisdom, which we're going to get it back into that in just a moment. In fact, I'm going to ask you to share with us after our commercial break a little bit about the strategy team, because you have different experts in different areas. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll be back in 30 seconds with our guest, Leslie Farnsworth. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, the radio show for entrepreneurs. Don't go away. We will be right back. Frog Dog provides a strategy and implementation roadmap to help companies achieve their goals. Consider us a turnkey, flexible, scalable marketing department that is at your service. Visit us on the web at www.frog-dog.com, or is that frog-dog.com, or email us at contact@frog-dog.com. The phone number, if you'd like to reach out to us by telephone, is 713-862-2505. And we are back live at the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you today from the Chamber of Commerce. We're here with my co-host, Royce Brooks, live in the studio today with Frog Dog CEO, Leslie Farnsworth. And don't forget, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. Leslie, we were just going to get into a little bit of a understanding of kind of who those strategy team members you have on your team. I'm really excited to hear about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have really what I see as two sort of groups that work very closely together at Frog Dog. One team is the implementation team. They take the strategy and the plan and they execute and make sure we hit all of our metrics and goals and targets. And the other team that really starts the process are the strategy team folks. And they're more of the nerd types, right? So I think a lot of times people think of marketing and they think, oh, it's about designing pretty things and making flyers and creating clever advertisements. And that is a very important part of marketing. That is that implementation team we were talking about. They're the ones that usually, you know, have the cool hair and glasses, and they're awesome. The strategists tend to be much more focused on spreadsheets and analysis and doing primary research and secondary research. And it's often seen as not the sexy part of marketing, but it's absolutely critical to being successful. You need to do the research. You need to have it all put together to make sure you're going to hit your targets, hit your metrics, and reach your business goals.
So the business team wants to measure the effectiveness of the creative team, and it all integrates, it sounds like, on a team. So you talked about the implementation team. You talked about strategy team. How about particular areas that, you know, and I know that you guys, I guess it's all-encompassing. It could include web and email marketing and, I don't know, video, television, all of these different things. How do those parts all interact with what you do as a whole for a client?
Comes together. Yes, it all has to achieve the goal. So where we really start with is we ask the business, what are your business goals? Where are you trying to go? And beyond the marketing side, just where are you trying to end up? And then we can, from there, define marketing's goals. And then that's where the strategy team sits down and says, what kind of, you know, we need to understand our audience. That's very important. I'm surprised at how many people don't do any research into who their audience is. We need to understand the market landscape. What's going on in this market? We need to understand the competitive landscape, right? And everybody, especially entrepreneurs, will say, well, there's no one like us. We're the only ones out here that are like us. And that's absolutely true. But you need to be very clear about what you mean by that. You need to really differentiate yourself and make sure that your audience is clear about how you're different. So the strategy team really sits down and says, okay, we need to understand these key factors. We've got to really understand what's happening across all of these different parts. And from there, we can develop a strategy that is going to achieve the marketing goals we set out together. And then we can also develop a set of tactics that are going to get there, right? A good marketing is as efficient and as effective as possible for the overall spend, both of time and of money. So we need to decide what things really are going to measurably move the needle. Doing stuff just to do stuff is a lot of times what businesses and entrepreneurs who are just starting out do. They kind of spin a lot of wheels. They spend a lot of time and money. They don't need to be spending. And if you do a little bit of that analysis and planning up front, you can prevent a lot of that. So that's what we're doing. We do all of those things you mentioned, Dan, but it's always got to go back and tie back to what is this audience going to respond to?
Got it.
What message is going to resonate best through that medium?
And Leslie, tell us how you help with a company's branding or maybe even rebranding in some cases, and how do you determine when to do that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, those are good and separate questions. Branding is a lot of times a misconception that I see happen in the business landscape is that branding has to do with what we call in the marketing jargon speak, your brand mark, your logo, right? So people look at that and they think, oh, well, that's my branding. It's absolutely not your branding. It is a visual representation of your brand.
It's a part of it.
Absolutely. It's what, you know, people might associate visually with your brand, but your branding goes much more fundamental to that in terms of your overall business's strategy. It really is, we call brands a promise. It's really, what do you promise to be for anyone who interacts with you? That's something you need to decide fairly early on. It has to come from the founders. It does not come from external forces. But the brand mark really cascades from that overall foundation. When companies come to us and they say things like, I want to rebrand, we often have a really deep heart-to-heart discussion about why.
Do you really want to do that?
Why? And,
yeah, what's the why behind it?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's just a matter of, well, look, you know, the look and feel of the world has changed. And we might say, well, that's great. Let's evolve your brand. Let's not rebrand. Let's not change the brand, but let's evolve it. And if you... you know, look online, actually, even at historical versions of the Coca-Cola brand, mm-hmm. or even Shell. Here we are in Houston, right? Shell oil company over the years has always had that exact same shell, but they have taken it and evolved it. It's gotten a little bit cleaner. It's gotten a little bit brighter.
Got
but they
it.
Haven't changed it.
So I have a question, Leslie, in, as it relates to maybe, I don't know, branding, marketing, or messaging, but... you know, I've read before that we're coming almost like everyone's like in this ADD sort of you know, like quick, everything moves so fast, and that in marketing you have a super brief time to catch someone's attention. How do you, and that's maybe because of the deluge of information that we're all constantly synthesizing through all of our feeds and emails and all of the just the, you know, the garbage and stuff that's like coming at us from every angle. How does that impact the work that you're trying to do when someone is trying to brand themselves and yet they're swimming upstream with this problem?
So marketing is all about repetition. So is branding, right? You have to just continue to stay in front of people over and over and over again, and hopefully via multiple channels and media. Used to be back in the, you know, I don't know, 50s or so, that you could get in front of people about three times before they would recognize your brand. Now it's really evolved. Most recent metrics say that you really need to have touched someone about eight times before they're going to recognize your brand. So that's an exponential increase, really, when you think about
it.
So you need to make sure you are continually, consistently reaching out, getting in front of people, and marketing is a long-term play. It absolutely is. You got to keep doing it and keep doing it for a long time before you're going to see the results that ultimately you will see. It will snowball for you, but have some patience. I see that happen a lot.
Now, there's a technology component in this because I looked at some boots one time because I clicked on an ad to look at some boots, you know, and I haven't thought about those boots, but those boots keep popping up like at every... I can go to anywhere on the internet and they've got these boots, and I know I'm going to buy a pair of those boots now because they're just like... I can't escape these boots.
You want those boots, Dan. You want those boots.
Well, you talked about repetition, but you know, I'm just looking at this company and going, you're doing something right, because I'm going to buy these boots, and I'm not even sure how much I want them, but you're waving them in front of my face so much, I feel like maybe if I buy them that, you know,
it'll go away.
Is that an example of some good marketing?
A very successful product right now that advertisers are promoting. It's called retargeting. And you can, as a company, go out and say, I want to buy retargeted ads. And that means that anytime someone has gone to your website or looked at a certain page, they will then see your ad, follow them all over the internet. And it is incredibly effective. Now, marketing's changing by the minute, especially, like you just said, Dan, due to technology. So the effectiveness may change. But as of right now, retargeting is a huge and very effective tactic.
Leslie, a question on differentiation. How do you help companies with differentiation? Everybody has a good product out there, or a lot of people have good products. And how do you differentiate your company from other companies that offer the same products and services that you do?
Absolutely. To some extent, right, I'm like every other entrepreneur. Like, we're a completely unique animal, Royce. We're not like anyone else. We're called Frog Dog. The real truth of the matter is that you've got to always go back to your brand, which should be your touch point to everything. So if you're going to differentiate yourself, that foundational branding element that you did from the very beginning is going to help differentiate yourselves in the marketplace. But you've also got to really understand who your audience is, what they're responding to, and what the competitive landscape is. And once you have that mapped out, once you can say, look, here's where my competitors are, this is the space they're playing in, this is what my audience is responding to, this is what they care about, it becomes very easy to say, well, then this is who we are and this is how we differentiate ourselves. Every company out there is going to target a slightly different audience, fit into the market in a slightly different way, always. And so you just need to figure out where you fit into the market and then begin to really emphasize that in your marketing activity.
I think that's fascinating. And it sounds to me like you're the quarterback on this team, and you organize all of these different aspects that that go into a marketing sort of recipe. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. And we come back to our second commercial break. That'll be back in about 30 seconds. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live today from the Woodlands Chamber of Commerce. And don't go away. We will be right back.
Has planning, saving, investing for retirement been on your to-do list for far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put planning for your future off any longer. Get started today. Call 281-466-4843 today. Visit us on the web at www.providentwealthllc.com.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. Okay, we are back with the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live in studio today from the Woodlands Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today, my co-host, Royce Brooks, and our special guest, Leslie Farnsworth of Frog Dog. And so we're doing a deep dive about marketing. Leslie's an expert on that, works with mid-sized companies. She leads a team, and she's a wellspring of knowledge about building, growing a successful company. And something that I wanted to ask you, Leslie, because you coach entrepreneurs, business owners, team leaders, all of this. Inside of this, you're an entrepreneur yourself, and so I would say that you know a whole lot about it. What are some key skills that you think entrepreneurs need to be successful?
The absolute top key skill, because I've gotten asked this question before, and I've actually done a lot of thinking about it, right? And it's less about having the best idea ever or being the smartest person in the room, and it's all about stamina. So, you could have the best idea ever. You could even have pretty darn good execution, but you're going to get knocked down, and you're going to get knocked down more than once, and it's going to be harder than you ever thought it was ever going to be. And all that beautiful business plan you did is going to go sideways multiple times, and you just got to keep going. And when I have seen companies fall apart, it's because of that. Somebody gets tired. It's easy to get tired. And I've gotten tired, but you got to get back up and keep going. So that's actually the number one, hands down, skill.
I love that. I love that. That it just says that people give up too soon, and they want. I was listening to an audiobook today about delayed gratification and some of the core key disciplines that people need to live the life that they want to live. And, you know, we're in an instant gratification society, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I launch a company. I'm 30 years old, and, you know, I want my private plane when I'm 35.
It's supposed to be easy.
Did you get your private plane before 35?
Absolutely, Lena. What private plane? That'd be nice. If I could do the timeshare kind eventually, that'd be awesome.
So that's great advice, and you should take that to heart. If you're coming out of the gate as an entrepreneur or you're seasoned and you want to go to that next level, you got to realize it's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful at times, and don't give up. We talked about earlier about just do it. But now it sounds like it's just keep doing it.
Yeah. And you got to adjust and shift. And I mean, it's like a game plan for anything. And I'm a bit of an athlete myself. And I think about it that way, right? Whatever your strategy was going into the game is going to need to change as the game evolves. And you're going to need to keep thinking. It's hard to kind of keep thinking about the same problem, but you got to keep thinking about the same problem.
And I think it's really good because a lot of people say you need to have a plan and you need to stick to that plan. And you're saying the opposite. You're saying it's a living document. You got to be able to make changes and understand those changes and call audibles.
Absolutely.
Since we're talking athletes.
Good point.
True.
That's a great point, yeah. Royce.
It's very true. You've got to be able to look at it critically, keep it updated, say when something's not working, admit it's not working. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who get so calcified around this particular thing they do. I think you need to stay true to who you are and what your company's maybe brand promise is. But that doesn't mean this particulars don't need to change and that the market doesn't change and that your audiences don't change. They do.
Leslie, have you ever been exposed to any of the coaching of Dan Sullivan with the strategic coach?
I haven't.
He's out of Toronto. He's a coach for entrepreneurs at many different income levels. But one of the things he talks about is a concept called creative destruction. And that is essentially every 3 years just, going in, because it might be where what you're doing today worked really well 3 years ago, but it's a changing landscape like you described. And it's almost a reinvention, you think about the most successful companies, the Apple computers, Elon Musk, the people that are just thinking differently, they're moving faster. And even what is his name, Cuban said, first come the innovators, then come the imitators, and then come the idiots. So you got to stay one step ahead. And I think that a little bit about what you're talking about. And
absolutely. The biggest danger to every business, you talked about what entrepreneurs need, but then I think also in businesses, sort of longevity is the status quo. And a lot of times what people think they're going to do, and I've written a number of articles about this, is just like, oh, well, it's scary to take a risk, or I don't want to change anything. I'm going to hold firm for now and see how it plays out. Well, when you hold firm, you're losing ground. The world's changing around you and you're staying in place. It just doesn't work.
You talked a little bit about stamina, and is this dovetail right into work ethic? And is work ethic more practices and procedures about how you go about it? Or what would your comments be about work ethic?
Work ethic is something that was so instilled in me from generations of family that it's hard for me to understand what it means not to have it. One thing I would say I'd see from years of having employees maybe and kind of comparing the ones that I would maybe say, okay, this person has work ethic and this person doesn't, is a lot of people like to, and I think it applies to entrepreneurs too, they like to talk about ideas, they want to brainstorm, they want to, put a bunch of stuff on a whiteboard, but they don't want to put their nose down and actually get the work done. And you got to actually get the work done. You got to grind it out. You got to have the discipline.
It speaks to ambition,
Absolutely.
And when you have ambition, you'll do things that other people will not do. And so, not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a hard, cruel, bloody trail, right?
Yes, it is.
It's people see the successes, but when I've noticed when I interview people about their success, most of the time they tell me about setbacks, heartaches, hardships, pain and suffering before they ever had that massive breakthrough. So you need to think long and hard to whether you maybe or you got the DNA to be an entrepreneur or not, because
and that stamina helps them overcome all those setbacks. And that's exactly when you're talking about stamina. That's what you need, that and the perseverance to keep going.
Again, I would tie to that the fact that and I was even talking to a friend of mine. She's also a business owner, and she's we were commiserating a little bit in DC at a business meeting. She said, "I thought at some point it got easier," and I said, "No, it doesn't ever get easier. It changes." the reasons it's hard changes, but it stays hard. And so that's another thing to think in. You need that stamina for that purpose, but don't get started if you're going to just burn out and you're thinking, oh, I hit the, 5 years in and I can buy the plane and I'm spending the, bulk of my year on the island. So it doesn't happen that way.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit and think about your journey as an entrepreneur. What's something that maybe might come into mind that, funny, scary story about being an entrepreneur? What's, something that, caught you by surprise or anything that you can think of that was just a real shocker to you or one of your clients about being an entrepreneur?
In terms of business, let me think. That's a good question. I joke with my team, and it's true. I say every day a new adventure. And sometimes I say it to start the morning because whatever you plan to do that day is probably going to change as the day progresses. So I have seen it all. I have seen everything from the most wild things out of employees that I never, ever, ever imagined anyone would do.
Anything you can say on the air? Anything you say on the air?
Those are the big surprises usually for me, right? Because I tend to be pretty, I'm an entrepreneur. I work hard. I get things done. Some of the stuff people come up with, you're like, I never would have expected anyone would do that, but they do, right? Those are often the craziest stories that you really can't tell, but it's often tied to that.
So let me ask you a question with that. Now, obviously, some of it you can't say on the air, but when you have encountered things like any of these issues, what's some of the ways you've overcome those? You talked about your stamina, so there's got to be things that there's roadblocks that have happened that have surprised you. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us one that you had to overcome that?
Constantly. Like I said, it doesn't stop. There's one surprise after another, and I think that is tied to the stamina. I think in terms of maybe a specific example, we've all had, you hire people, and you hire them to do a job, and you explain what that job is, but people are not machines, and they're not robots. They are going to have their own interpretation of what you've told them. They're going to have their own interpretation of their job description. They're going to have their own interpretation of the day, and you have to try to understand where their perspective is and try to work with them in that kind of way. And I think that's been a continual surprise. Every single employee I've ever had is unique. And how do you work with them and help grow them and develop them, challenge them, but not too much, give them what they need to be successful. And even when you do all of that, you'll be surprised. Someone will have, someone will lie to you. Someone's going to steal from you.
And you know what?
It's going to happen.
You're wearing another hat. All of a sudden, you're wearing the hat of, the HR hat, and then you got the strategist hat, mm-hmm. and you've got the entrepreneur, business, growth hat. So do you have a business coach, Leslie?
I have had business coaches over the years. I usually have brought them in for a really specific need. They have a skill in one particular area. The most recent one I brought in was an operations consultant and a coach, and she really helped me think through our policies and procedures and processes and put together a new operations manual, and that was extremely helpful and helped me think through, how do we need to structure the overall workflow.
Do you have a chief operations officer at your company?
That would be me.
That would be you. Okay. Well,
it would be. I have an office manager who's wonderful and does a lot of, the day-to-day operations things. But in terms of a chief operations officer, that is me. And so having a coach, that was not my strength. I think operations is very hard, especially for entrepreneurial times.
Yeah, right, because you don't want to be tethered to the operations. Right.
Absolutely. And so, no, that is me. And so it was very helpful to bring her in. She had been a chief operations officer and helped me see where I had some gaps. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So always bring in experts.
That makes me think of Tom Glover that we interviewed on the show here. And Tom is a fractional COO mm-hmm. for companies that maybe need that sort of support, help, coaching, mentoring, and maybe, they can't afford a full-time person. So he'll work with them in blocks of time. And, that's one way too. When we did the show at the Saddle River Range out on 1488, he talked about having a fractional CFO that helped him. Guy wasn't a full-time guy on the payroll, but he worked with him part-time. And I think that's a great business concept. And with that, we're going to go into one more quick commercial break. We're going to be back in just 30 seconds. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live from studio at the Chamber at the Chamber of Commerce. And we will be right back. Don't go away. According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Ouch! Don't do that. That's bad. Contact the team at Provident and Financial Gravity to explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a short no-obligation assessment, we'll determine if we can substantially reduce your tax burden. If so, we'll develop a tax savings plan utilizing our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us online at providentwealthllc.com. And we are back, and the producer is telling me we need to kick up the pace, right? Yeah, so with that in mind, we're going to kind of jump in. We had a little segment called Hot or Not. We're looking for quick questions, quick answers. And we don't have to go deep on your answers, but just in general, we'd like to know how you feel about some different things. Royce, you got your Hot or Not? You want to fire off first?
Yeah, I was hoping I was going to get to ask some of these. So
yeah, right on.
Good. Well, I'll start.
Let's do it.
I'll start one. Hire family members, hot or not?
Depends on the family member.
Good answer.
I would say hot if that's the right family member. But right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, good. You know, you got to trust people and hopefully the right family you can.
Yeah. And, you know, they have to, one of our guests said, look, they got to make the cut too, just like anybody mm-hmm. else. You don't have any special free ride because we share DNA, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Negotiate your prices, hot or not?
Not.
Okay, the price is the price.
Price is the price. You can have different packages, but stick with your price.
Yeah, stick firm with that. And,
Let me go. Advertise your business.
Well, that's a hard one. No, it's very hot. Do that. Good. Do that.
Advertise it early and often. And
all the time. It's all
like
about
voting.
Repetition.
Well, she said repetition. You just got to stay
Eight
out
times.
There.
Eight
Keep
times.
Doing it. Yeah.
You know who I think of with that is I think of the Mattress Mac guy. And I've often thought, the guy's got so much business. He could probably shut off his marketing budget, pocket a bunch of extra money. But he knows, man, that repetition. He knows that concept. Keep spending that cash, and that cash will keep coming in. Keep your because your message can go away, too, after you put all that time and work into it. So take on equity partners, hot or not, Leslie?
Completely depends on the business in that one. Absolutely.
Do you have any equity partners?
I do not.
Okay. So you don't like equity partners for you, but in another situation, it might make sense.
Absolutely. And it may make sense for me as the company evolves and changes. Just right now, it's not, but that doesn't mean that won't change.
Gotcha.
What about paying out bonuses to employees?
If it's tied to a very specific measurable action, absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, because otherwise they just think of it as compensation, right?
Absolutely. And it needs to be something they can control. There's nothing more sort of awful than to give someone a bonus that's measurable, but they actually have no agency over whether or not they achieve it. That's awful and cruel, kind of. So make sure, A, it's something they can actually do, and B, that it's something you can measure, and both of you are clear on how that measurement's happening.
Gotcha. Having a mentor, hot or not?
Hot, absolutely.
What about barter or trade in your business?
No, I've tried it. It's very, people have different values for things,
right.
And inevitably somebody gets hurt.
Leslie, come on. I have this great bass boat, and have you been bass fishing in a while? Because if you could just come in and consult with my team and my group, I would be willing to trade you my bass boat.
No. Thank you, but no.
If it's a great bass boat, why are you willing to trade it?
Right, yeah.
You know.
That's what Leslie's thinking. She was just too nice to ask that question.
But even if it's something that you both need, you need,
right.
IT services. I bartered that one once. That was an experience where I said, okay, I'll do some marketing for you if you can do my company's IT.
Okay.
And, you know, I needed that. I needed IT done. Everybody does. And it just doesn't, you know, their idea of what theirs is worth and vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
How about Royce?
Oh, how about leveraging, taking on debt to grow your business?
Again, it depends on the business, but I say hot if that's what needs to happen to keep growing and you can do it in a smart way, sure.
Okay. Promote from within, hot or not?
Absolutely hot. You've got to do that if you want to keep good employees. No
okay.
question.
And is that a cornerstone or a tenet of your company that you look more to, okay, who have I grown up inside?
Absolutely. Yes. Definitely. Definitely. As much as I can.
Okay, so moving on, this is something I thought about in preparing for this interview today, Leslie. I wanted to ask you if you can think of in your career, because you're very seasoned now in your career, you're way past startup and survival mode and all of those things. Could you think of one or two maybe game-changing decisions that you've made as an entrepreneur in your journey that has helped your business grow and become successful and help you to help all of these other businesses to reach their goals? Something that was game-changing?
I think always willing to evolve, like we talked about with the status quo. It is very hard even for me, knowing that I need to change. Change is difficult. And so game-changing things, separating those two teams like we talked about, Dan, sort of going, you know what, I was trying to find people who could do strategy and implementation. Those are different people. That was game-changing for me. So, I had to make that change, and that was hard, and it was hard on the team, hard for everybody to go through, but it was important.
Okay. So what do you think about working smarter, not harder? What's your general thought about that question?
This ties back to the coaching question, I actually think. I think absolutely you should work smarter and not harder, right? But a lot of times you don't know what you don't know, and you don't know if there's an easier way to do something, especially if it's not experience you've had or a discipline you've been in. And so bringing in really great consulting folks who can help you with certain areas of your business will help you work smarter and not harder.
You've had to hire a lot of people in your line of work. When you are interviewing people, and let's say two of them are very similar resume and all that, what is the tiebreaker or what are the tiebreakers you look for, everything being equal on paper, that makes you hire one person over another?
I want to know why they want to be in this particular industry, what their actual sort of what made them feel like this career was the right career for them. I also always ask them, one of my questions always at the end of the interview is, if a year from after you start here, what is going to make you feel that starting here was the best decision you could have made? And I want to make sure I can meet their expectations.
That's a really great point. We had another entrepreneur on the show that talked about that, that there's an alignment of what they're looking for and what you feel like you can provide them in the position, and finding clarity so you don't have a big misunderstanding later after you've poured into and invested a large sum of money.
It's a partnership, absolutely. Yeah. So you need to work together. And I also think that ties to them asking a lot of really good questions. They haven't really asked a lot of good questions. It's a concern.
Okay, so the producer's telling us we need to hurry it up. Royce, we got time for one or two more questions. And if you want to pick one out, we're going to have to wrap it up here pretty quick with Leslie Farnsworth, a Frog Dog.
I'd like to know your typical work week. When you first started, are you working more hours now or less hours than when you first started this up almost 20 years ago?
It has scaled up and back over 20 years. So I would say I am working now as many hours I was when I started. But there have been times when it's scaled back. I haven't needed to work as hard. But in terms of number of hours, probably always working equally hard. But I think it evolves. Your company evolves. Your level of need changes in terms of what you need to do. Your role changes. And so, it like I said earlier, it doesn't get easier.
What are the expectations of your employees as far as the number of hours you expect them to work?
I expect them to get their jobs done. As long as they get their jobs done and meet their goals, that's what matters to me.
Yep. And I want to just say one thing about, Leslie works with these medium-sized companies. They're found traction, okay? And they're established. But And we talked about working smarter, not harder. But, I remember starting up my company. I had to work smarter and harder, okay? Because I was at one time in the survival mode. And, if you've had your company for 10 years and you're established and you're still working 60, 70 hours a week, something's wrong. You've got some dysfunction going on. But there are times when you have to do what you have to do. One of my clients actually has about a $10 million company that's now found traction. But he said that for 2 years, he slept on a cot and did not know if the family's going to make it, the business is going to make it. They cashed in their 401ks. They put all the chips on the line. And there's a time and place for doing what you have to do. But eventually, you want to get to that place where you have some balance and some quality of life too, right?
Well, I think, I heard, I was talking to a friend of mine who's started a number of different companies, and he's now doing more on the consulting side. And what he said is there's no such thing between, work is life, life is work. Can't really have a balance.
Yep. So what a great wealth of information. Leslie, I know we had so many more questions that we wanted to ask you. We wanted to learn more about your story, but you did share a tremendous amount of wisdom with us today. And for that, we are very grateful for you coming on to the Shrimp Tank. We have an exciting show for you next week. Catherine tells me we're broadcasting live in the woodlands of the Mercedes of the Woodlands, right? Same time? Lunchtime? Yeah, thereabouts, lunchtime. So don't forget to tune in for that show, and we'll have the post-show wrap-up coming for you here. Leslie Farnsworth, Frog Dog, and Royce Brooks. Before we sign off here, Leslie, just tell our listeners, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, and maybe they've got a company that says, hey, I need some help. I'm doing some things right. I'm doing some things I know I could do a lot better. How would someone get in touch with you, specifically with you, and to learn a little bit more about Frog Dog?
The best, probably easiest way to reach me is to call the main line, because they can always hunt me down. I'm not always the best at answering my phone. That's 713-862-2505. And then just tell the person who answers the phone that you listen to the Shrimp Tank podcast.
And don't forget, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. We will see you next week. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank, big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.